Helicopter maker Sikorsky will stay in Connecticut for the next 2 decades. Governor Lamont signed a deal today to keep the company in the state through 2042 at Sikorsky's headquarters in Stratford.
Sikorsky's right there on the front lines defending America's freedom and defending freedom around the world. And we do that with the best engineering, the best workforce in the world. Another reason that Sikorsky is right here.
The deal brings Sikorsky's parent company, Lockheed Martin, $75 million in tax incentives. But the state says that could be higher depending on how much work Sikorsky secures for its facility. Lawmakers and Sikorsky executives say the deal will keep more than 7,000 jobs in Connecticut. Happy Monday. You are listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut-New York region. A family sues Suffolk police for an alleged false arrest. Environmental groups in the region have a plan to clean up Long Island Sound and taking care of food waste in Connecticut. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. The family of a man killed by a Suffolk County police officer has filed an $85 million lawsuit alleging false arrest, excessive force, and pattern of police misconduct. WSHU's Charles Lane reports.
Last year, Jesse Bonsignore was killed in Manorville following an altercation with police. An Uber driver, Bonsignore, had been sleeping in his car when police were called. Police and the New York Attorney General's office say that he was armed with a knife. Bonsignore was shot twice. The lawsuit names the officer involved as James Skidmore, a 21-year police veteran. According to the lawsuit, Bonsignore has a disability. His family has been asking for video evidence and disciplinary records, but has not yet received them. The lawsuit claims the Suffolk County Police Department has repeatedly failed to restrain and discipline its officers. Charles Lane, WSHU News.
Environmental agencies in Connecticut and New York have a 5-year plan through 2027 to deal with marine debris in Long Island Sound. WSHU's Davis Donovan has more.
Marine debris could come from boats, from the shore, or from rivers and streams. It could be anything from litter and discarded fishing gear to microplastics, tiny plastic pieces that wash out to sea and are especially dangerous to wildlife. The plan includes dozens of steps, like cleanup programs, trash cans at beaches, and outreach to fishing and aquaculture businesses. It's run by the Connecticut and New York Sea Grant programs with help from NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
Connecticut has a food waste crisis. More on what's being done to resolve that coming up after headlines and a message from our supporter.
Support for After All Things comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
Former Nassau County Executive Ed Mangano wants the judge who sentenced him to 12 years in federal prison last month to let him stay out of prison while he seeks an appeal, according to court documents. A report from Newsday says Mangano's defense attorney filed a motion for bail pending appeal. It argues Mangano isn't a flight risk or a danger to the community. The attorney for Mangano's wife, Linda, says they will also file a similar motion. She was sentenced to 15 months in prison. In 2019, both Manganos were convicted by a jury for their roles in a bribery scheme. This August, 7 supermarket branches of People's United Bank will close. That's according to M&T Bank. The branches are a casualty of the merging of the two banks. M&T completed its more than $8 billion purchase of People's United last month. The 7 Stop & Shop branches set to close on August 12th are in Bristol, New Fairfield, Newtown, Norwalk, Pawcatuck, Vernon, and Windsor. M&T officials say the closings will not result in any layoffs. New Haven Mayor Justin Elliker has nominated Carl Jacobson to be the next permanent chief of police for the city. Jacobson has been with the New Haven Police Department for 15 years. He currently serves as assistant police chief, where he oversees patrol operations, the detectives division, SWAT, emergency services, and school resource officers.
This is Long Story Short from the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. I'm Ebong Udama. You can read the stories we feature on ctmirror.org or wshu.org. Jan Ellen Spiegel covers energy, environment, and climate change for the Connecticut Mirror. She joins us to talk about her article, Efforts to Get Food Out of the Waste Stream, Finding More Support. Jan, you write that officials believe solving the food waste issue is the linchpin to Connecticut's waste disposal crisis. Could you describe the crisis and why food waste is a problem?
Well, there's a multiple level crisis in terms of how we get rid of our trash broadly. We have trash to energy plants, one of which is about to get shut down. So the question becomes, what do you do with your waste? Generally, waste is also fairly expensive to get rid of because you pay by weight. The more a town dumps into whatever the waste facility is, whether it's a trash to energy landfill, whatever, the more you have to pay. So generally, it's felt, well, if you can get things out of that waste stream in some other fashion, then you will be able to pay less for what you do have to dump. And one of the biggest things that literally weighs everything down is food waste. Food waste, think about what you throw away when you're throwing away food. It's heavy, it's wet, and therefore it's going to cost a lot. And that wet portion of it, since we send a lot of our overall waste into a trash to energy plant, it gets burned. Well, think about wet food. It doesn't burn very well. So that becomes an absolute perfect thing to get rid of. And there are other things that food waste can be used for that are actually pretty beneficial. So it's not going to solve the whole crisis, but you're definitely not going to solve the crisis if you don't start getting the food waste out.
So the solution is getting the food waste out. And that means food composting.
There are a number of things that can be done. Number one would be literally people at home composting food. That isn't always practical. Another thing to do would be to use it to also form energy. There is one plant in the state of Connecticut. It's an anaerobic digester. It's called Quantum Biopower. It's in Southington, and it turns food waste into energy through internal it's not really combustion. It works like a cow's stomach works. It turns it into energy.
The infrastructure for that, isn't that quite expensive?
It's expensive, but it is also fairly practical. Where the state has had problems with, including with Quantum, has been permitting. And that plant almost never came to be. It took so long to get permitted. The problem is for the state of Connecticut is because we don't have a broad state policy that sets up an infrastructure for doing these sorts of things, a company like Quantum is not going to be able to get funding to go out and build another plant. They want to make sure that the stuff that would go into that plant exists and can get there. So it becomes a little bit of a chicken and egg process. What we've also got around the state are literally composting facilities that turn food waste into compost, which can be used as, you know, fertilizer in gardens and whatever. It has a use. Again, the policy that is in place is very, very, very minimal. It only applies to commercial food waste. And what we've got happening now is cities and towns on their own have been realizing this is a smart thing to get out of our waste stream. Let's just do it ourselves.
You give the example of one particular regional body called the Southeastern Connecticut Recovery Authority taking this on. Could you just talk a little bit about what they're doing and if that's a successful model to follow?
They have run a little pilot program. The shorthand for those guys is SCARA. There are 12 towns in there, and they decided they were not going to wait around for the state anymore to essentially come up with a way to deal with food waste. They were going to try something on their own. So they set up a pilot project of literally composting food waste that they had delivered to them at a site that happened to be in Stonington. It wasn't Stonington's food waste, to see how well it would work. It took them, I think, 4 or 5 times as long just to get the permit for the pilot project as it took to run the pilot project. In the end, they got a nice big pile of food waste compost that they will start distributing. And they are in the process of trying to find a permanent place to put a larger composting facility that all the towns within SCARA can then bring there that would literally cut, estimates are anywhere from 25 to 30% of what these towns have then have to put into the overall waste stream because it will be going to food waste. So that would literally cut their dumping price of the other trash by as much as a third. It's one example of towns doing it on their own. There are all kinds of different examples all over the state, which again is being done in the absence of a statewide policy on this specifically.
But we do have statewide policy. We have a law, 2011 law, about commercial food waste, a ban on commercial food waste. Wouldn't that be a model to use for the rest of our food waste?
It has a lot of caveats in it, which have kept businesses that might otherwise participate in it from having to. The biggest caveats are the amount of food waste a company generates. It's lowered over time, so it's about a half ton a week, but it's a half ton and not or, and you have to be 20 miles from a certified composting site. The composting sites in this state are way out on the perimeters of the state. Ellington, New Milford, Danbury, most of the major cities and towns are more than 20 miles away. So they don't have to dump any of the commercial food waste. Plus, there are exceptions for all kinds of companies. One of the biggest exceptions is for schools. So take a place like Greenwich. They're more than 20 miles from anything. So none of the food operations there have to get rid of the food waste. So it hasn't really worked all that well.
And you know, Greenwich has a lot of restaurants.
Yes.
Well, so where do we go from here? It's the linchpin to solving the problem. The state seems to feel that it's a local issue. So what's the future?
Well, it may be some regional groups doing kind of what SCARA has done and pulling together and saying, we can't wait for the state. We're just going to do this on our own. It may be the state figures out a way to do a broader, more stringent policy, in which case towns will have to start doing this. It may be that the market takes over and it just becomes so cost prohibitive to jump trash that cities and towns will end up doing this anyway. A place to look would be Vermont. That state followed the Connecticut model for commercial food waste, doing their own law in 2012, have done step downs all the way, and as of last year, complete food waste ban in the state of Vermont. So it can be done. I mean, it's a smaller state, at least smaller population-wise.
Do we have the political will to get it done in Connecticut and anytime soon?
We have home rule in this state. Whether we have the political will or we don't have the political will, it would be a very, very difficult move.
Well, thank you so much, Jan Ellen. Jan Ellen Spiegel covers energy, climate, and the environment for the Connecticut Mirror. Her article is about efforts to get food out of the waste stream finding more support. Long Story Short comes from WSHU Public Radio and the Connecticut Mirror. Read the story at ctmirror.org or wshu.org. I'm Ebong Udama.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or anytime at WSHU.org. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. Your favorite WSHU programming, including this podcast, is all made possible by listeners like you. So if you like what you hear, consider making a donation today. Big or small, it all helps, and it's all appreciated. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Sabrina Garone. Talk to you tomorrow.